Hello and welcome to the Home Uplink podcast. Today is August 12th, 2021.
Thursday.
It's Thursday.
If you ever are wondering what day it is, just listen to the podcast. We'll tell you.
Yeah. And then you can base it off of that. And then so just you'll watch the moon and the stars after that point and you can count.
No, you have to go also though and see the tides.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at how the tides are influxing.
No.
Unless you're landlocked in that.
If you're in Kansas, they can't really do that. But
then go to the lake.
Yeah, that doesn't change. Okay, so today, what we're going to be talking about is we went to a, a lunch and learn. I'm sure realtors, if you're listening, you've been to one of those before.
For people who aren't realtors, for the general population, what a lunch and learn basically is a institution, a mortgage or title or insurance or inspection holds a meeting and they bring lunch. And in that meeting, they go over talking points and they cater it so that they feed you and also you learn some things.
Yeah. So they call it a lunch and learn, right?
Well, okay. Well, we were invited to one, and we attended.
Yes. So we went to that today, this morning, at about 10 a.m.
7 a.m.
Well, on the West Coast. Yeah, I don't know why that would. I guess it's okay.
So it's not really a lunch and learn, it's a breakfast.
Yeah, that for them, it would be a breakfast. For us, it was a lunch. But yeah. So we got there, and the insurance company did a great job. They were very professional.
Informative.
They had a very good information for us. Honestly, we're not from Florida. Obviously, you know that listening, that we're from Nevada.
West Coast.
Oh, West Coast, California and Las Vegas. So we don't have the 411 on all the information when it comes to insurance needs, right? Because
I got to be honest, though. After just 2 hours,
pretty solid.
I am now well-versed on a multiple, different aspects of... Because in Florida, a lot of homes have, for example, different wiring, different roofs.
No. Roof shapes.
Different installation, different AC units, different breaker boxes. I mean, it's not like, we came from a very newer cut and dry in Vegas to where all the houses in the area were
01 or newer.
Yeah, 1999 to 01. So, I mean, other than, them using, I think, the cobalt piping, which was a huge issue back in like 05, 06 because it was corroding and everybody who used a specific piping had to come in and redo their pipes. There really hasn't been an issue. And of course, we don't have anything like hurricanes there. So, there wasn't really many insurance claims other than maybe a water heater or, a roof leak, which only rained once every 6 months. So today was very informative on, they went into specific 4 points of an inspection, which is very easy to understand. It's the roof, it's the AC and insulation and the heating, right? It's the wiring, and it's the piping.
The plumbing.
So those are the 4 points that they basically just want to know about on the property. So for example, if me and Zach were showing a prospective buyer a home, and we went over in detail aluminum wiring because aluminum wiring is a safety hazard because it can easily catch on fire. They switched to copper wiring back in the mid-80s, but anything before 1985 could potentially have this aluminum wiring. So your premium, one, is going to go up because you have this potentially hazardous wiring. Or, two, you might actually have to get the seller to replace it.
Yeah, depending.
Because it might be so old that the insurance company won't even consider insuring that property because they know it's going to be a liability.
Yeah, there's funnily enough, there's quite a few things that come into play here that I mean, from our background, it didn't play a part at all, right? Because, we, you know, they sat there and...
We knew horror stories from California. I mean, there's some currently Victorian-style houses that we were, you know, the copper and
knob
tube.
And tube knob wiring and tube
and all of this crazy stuff from, like, the early 1901s and stuff that people were still using today. But, you know, for the last 7-8 years where we were in Nevada, everything...
It was most standard.
Of my sales were after 1977.
I mean, honestly, we never really even had to.
I did a couple that were before 1977, but most of my sales, I would say 95% of my sales were anywhere between 1995 to 2016.
That's just because they don't. I mean, in Vegas, there was only probably maybe 10,000 or 20,000 homes built before that point in time. It was literally nobody.
Most of those were teardowns after, you know, 1950 ranch style, and you know, getting 60 years beaten up by 121 degrees.
You're done for.
But it was very interesting because, you know, we're going to go over some tidbits that potential new buyers moving to Florida might not, you know, understand. Like Zach can explain the difference between now concrete and also wood.
Yeah, they have a difference between wood frame, and this comes down to an understanding that the premiums are higher based on the style of home you're buying, right? So a slab, which is more of a concrete base and concrete walls, or concrete bricks, blocks, basically.
Even metal.
So that's so what happens is if you have a slab home is what they call it, your rates are going to be about 30% less.
Correct.
Than what normal wood frame home would be in Florida, right? And then also in some cases they'll have a slab, and then built on top of this slab, they'll have wood framing on top of that, right? To make a second story. And the whole thing about that, which is funny because we, you know, this isn't something we encountered ever, is that, you know, they base the insurance cost on if there is more than 33% of the square footage of the property,
which is
inside, that is under wood framing or based around wood framing, then they consider it to be a wood frame. Even if the entire first floor is slab, they would consider if over 33.3% of the building is on the second floor, they would consider it wood frame, which means you wouldn't get that 30%, right?
Yeah. And reasons, you know, some we never really had concrete or brick homes.
Yeah, we never really, you know, it's good for wind, but also termites, you correct. Know, they're not going to break into concrete, so it's a pest thing.
We understand now, you know, as agents, most of the houses in Vegas, if not all the houses, to be completely honest, were all frame, plywood. They put drywall. They put insulation in between the drywall. There you go. There's your house. I have pictures of one of my houses being built, and it's just a frame, goes then in the next phase. I mean, here, when you're driving around all the new builds, it's the first floor, brick, concrete.
Yeah, it's a slab.
And, you know, Zach hit on the head, it's inclement weather, I mean, hurricanes, and termites. So it's interesting that knowing that now, we can then tell a client who might not understand or be new to the area, hey, by the way, that first story, that one story home in DeLand is all brick. So other than the roof, which could be metal, but other than the roof that could be some sort of wood frame, you're most likely going to be able to get a discount on your insurance up to 30% because of that issue. And that, like, they kept reiterating, which was interesting, that can actually change a part of the deal, because if your debt-to-income ratio is so close and now you know that, oh, no, I have to spend an extra 30, 40, or 50% more a year on insurance because it has aluminum wiring or it has faulty breaker boxes, you know, that could completely screw your debt to income ratio, which could then change the process of the whole deal. And that's what they kept reiterating. You want to make sure that you get this stuff taken care of in the front, in the beginning, so that, you know, by the end of the deal, nothing's going to fluctuate.
Yeah, because really that's what it comes down to. And that's what's most important in a deal is that everything goes off without a hitch, right? And you're going to try, everyone wants to try their best, especially people who are in real estate and this is their career path, right? Everybody wants every closing to be the most simple and easiest transaction for everyone involved.
Correct.
And so, you know, what was being talked about a lot was that, you know, it's great to be proactive when it comes to insurance down here, which was nothing, you know, coming from our own standpoint, nobody really cared. In Las Vegas, honestly, homeowners insurance was not something that was very worrisome, right? Because
most of the questions I got on homeowners insurance and my transactions were,
do I need it?
Do I need it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, yeah, it's up to every individual, but I mean, I have homeowners insurance, but my homeowners insurance was,
you know, if you have a loan that's subsidized by a company, then yes you're going to need it. They're going to make you get it. If you buy your house in cash, then it's up to you. Yeah. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. Right. So it really, you know, but in Vegas, some of the differences that I see just, you know, right off the bat, and is Arizona too, is this way where, you know, they have a lot of flat roof buildings.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't really care. It rains never. So it's not a worry of theirs.
One day out of the year.
So, okay, it rains, you know, the tar and gravel will be fine. Right. So that they don't have that really down here. And if they do, they're graded so that the water runs off because it rains 6 months out of the year here. On top of that, which I find funny because I was going to say this when we were in the meeting, but, you know, in Florida, if your air conditioner gets over 20 years old, they won't insure it anymore.
Correct.
Right. And so I was like, huh, that's funny because in Vegas, if your air conditioner lasts more than like 8 or 9 years, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Like if it's not dying after like 6, 7, 8, 9 years, you're lucky. I had a good one.
I had AC units that went out after like 3 or 4.
Yeah. No, I mean, even cars, houses, commercial buildings. Oh my gosh. Those things. I mean, there's no air in the water for it to condense. Everybody understands how an air conditioner works, yeah. Right? Takes in air. If there's water molecules in it, it runs it through, and it's easier to cool when there's more water molecules in the air. It's so dry in Vegas. It's like basically blowing a blow dryer into an air conditioner and then expecting cold air to come out.
Yeah.
So they just die, right? So I found it funny because I was like, oh, if you went up to somebody and said, hey, your air conditioner is going to last 20 plus years, and even at that point, you're going to be like, is this really going to be the hill I die on, right? I don't want to really replace my 22-year-old air conditioner. It's been working for 22 years. I'm like, that's insane. That's, you know, 3-4 times longer than what I've ever seen in my life.
Another one that caught me off guard too, Zach, which is hilarious, is water heaters. So here, they will insure them if they're 14 years younger.
Indoor.
Yeah. So most of the water heaters in Vegas are all indoor because it's so hot.
They'll just burst if they're outside.
They have to be in the garage. Yes, they will just explode. So I thought that was interesting, though, because I didn't have a water heater in Vegas that lasted more than 5 years. First, because the water is so hard.
Yeah. The caliche makes it literally so bad.
Yeah. So you have to have also a water softener.
Yeah.
But also,
which ruins your pipes.
Yeah, which ruins your pipes. But also, with a water heater in Vegas, even if your water heater was running correctly, it was the rod that they put in the middle of the water heater that had most of the issue, because with all of the, you know, caliche, copper, everything in the water, it would eat that rod away so quickly that the rod would then break, and then the water heater would then break itself.
Yeah, we had, and even on our own standpoint, it's so funny because people don't realize in Vegas, you know, the weather does change, and it's sometimes drastic.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And one year in particular, we had this very funny moment where one day we were borderline 100 degrees. It was like 98 degrees, right? And you're like, okay, that's fine. You know, the water heater was in our garage. It's about 98. So, you know, the garage is probably 95, 96, 97 degrees, right? About the same temperatures outside. The next day, that night, right? So this thing has been getting heated up all day. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I do not remember why, but it was like April. And one day it was 98. And then the next day, no joke, it was like 46 degrees outside. Popped the water heater open.
Yeah.
And it just exploded in the garage everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like a bomb went off. I was sitting upstairs and I was like, what just happened?
Check the whole house.
Yeah. What? Yep. Because the shrinking and expanding was so crazy.
Yeah.
From the heat and then the cool that it just popped it. Yep. Like a water balloon.
Yep. And it's interesting because here, they will insure water heaters up to 20 years from
inside. Yeah, if it's outside or in your garage, they will insure it up to 20 years. That's crazy to me because I wouldn't even imagine those things lasting that long.
That's the speculation that we get when I read these statistics. I go, wait, water heaters last that long?
Yeah.
That's weird. AC units last over 20 years? No way.
I mean, you have to... Some places you get your AC serviced every year, and then sometimes they're like, "Oh yeah, you got this last year."
On another route, okay, switching it up. You know, we learned a lot from just this 2-hour lunch and learn. So, I mean, there was a lot of good information that we didn't know. I'm going to be honest, we as new, brokers here in Florida, we can do as much research as we want when it comes down to, getting information for our clients. But now knowing just a little bit more of the things to look out for is going to make us hint on the real estate side. It's going to make the agent look a lot better.
Yeah.
I feel now if I am to walk around and open a electrical box, okay, and there are 4 companies that we went over today where the electrical box is going to cost either $800 to $1,500 to replace it or an extra 20 to 30% a year in premium because the electrical box is faulty and companies put 1 out of 4 boxes in these homes between 1975 and like 1992 or 96. Yeah. 1 out of 4 were actually faulty. I know now I can honestly walk in and say, oh yeah, you know what guys, you're probably gonna have to replace that. It's gonna be $800 to $1,500. Do you know how you're gonna look? You're gonna look like a fucking rock star. You're gonna look like this guy knows what he's doing. This guy's not only walking on us around the house, but oh my gosh, he just told us that the house is, one story, all concrete, which is going to, decrease our premium and insurance. Or, oh yeah, look at the floodplain. We're in floodplain A or AE.
You're going to need flood insurance.
You're going to need specific flood insurance for those those floodplains. Boom. These are all things that new agents, okay, experienced agents obviously go through this with every single deal, but new agents, they need to understand. And none of this stuff gets ever mentioned anywhere other than an insurance guy holding a lunch and learn.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any reason to, because from our standpoint, and we've been told this coming here that, insurance plays a different part in this market, right? And we've been told, just other realtors and other businesses in general have told us, if the roof's older than 15 years old, you're not going to be able to get insurance on it and this, that, and the other.
No matter how well it looks. Yeah,
no matter how good it looks, blah, 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 right? And we'd heard these things and we're like, okay, I mean, I guess, that's good information to have, but nobody ever explained the reasoning behind it and the difference between roof types, the different angles that roofs can be and how that changes because if there's
gale force winds.
Yeah, if there's a 2-sloped, right, and it just basically turns into an A, and you have a roof that just is shaped like an A, it costs more because if you only have 1 angle for the wind to cut, right?
So in those, I always, when he was talking about it, I always think of those crazy commercials where you see roofs just fly off.
Yeah.
Like a hurricane or like a tornado. Uh-huh. And you're like, it just lifts it up. And every time I was thinking about that, it was A-frames.
Yeah.
Because A-frames, like Zach says, it only slopes on on 2 sides. So it's basically like an A. But the other 2 sides are not wind resistant. So if something were to like he was
if
saying,
the wind was coming from one of those angles, it would just lift it up.
It would just lift it up like a giant parachute.
Yeah.
And that's what he was saying. He was saying, you know, like if you're in a floodplain, you're in a, they called a wind gap, which is basically an area of the country in Florida where you're by the coast, which gets a little bit more wind, possibly during hurricane season or just in general, you know. And let's say the house is from the 1950s and has aluminum wiring. That, those three things right there might cost you hundreds upon thousands of dollars more a year to insure that property than something that's in a neighboring city.
Yeah, I mean, and that makes a big difference because when you look at it and you say, okay, well, there's this property here that I'm looking at, and in order to redo the pipes, in order to redo the electrical box, you know, maybe the plumbing is the, what is it, the poly tube thing, or yeah, whatever it is?
Polytechnic?
No, oh, poly... No.
Polybutylene.
Polybutylene. Right. So if you have those kinds of pipes, there's plenty of reasons you could look at a property and say, well, maybe this isn't the perfect one for me. Because if I were to go and someone said, okay, here's this property. It is a framed, right? It's not slab. It's a framed house.
Yep.
And I said, okay, when was it built? 1968. Okay. So a framed house from 1968. All right. It has aluminum wiring. Okay. Not great. It has a one of the FP electrical boxes.
Yeah.
And it has
Federal Pacific panel.
Yeah. And then you've got the that kind of tubing. All in all, the costs of doing that, the tubing costs $8,000 to $9,000 to redo in your house, right? Mm-hmm. So if you tallied all of that up and said, okay, you've got $8,000 to $9,000 in repiping it, you've got $800 to $1,500 in the electrical box, you've got about $4,000 to $5,000 redoing your wiring, and then your roof can cost you anywhere from $14,000 to $18,000
up to 22, yeah,
up to 22,000. You're looking at $50,000 worth of things you have to do in that property to make it so you can get insurance on it.
And the interesting part is, you know, there are companies out there that he was saying will insure properties that do have like the
One or two of these. You know, you have to look at it like, you know, an a la carte list, right? If you have a property and there's nothing wrong with it except it has aluminum wiring, right? You can probably find an insurance company that'll still insure it,
yeah,
right? Because you have one thing, you know, or maybe it's like, oh, well, the electrical box is faulty. Okay, well, you can probably still find a company that will insure it, right? But once you start getting into the two things, because, you know, he was saying, oh, there's like three companies that do this, right? But the problem is once you start adding in multiple problems to a property,
yeah,
then you're basically going to have nobody. Once you get to a point where it's like, oh, the roof's bad, the electric, you know, the plumbing's bad, electrical's bad.
Yeah.
It's
not bad. It's just not insured.
Yes. And by what they mean is like, you know, the wiring can be faulty and cause fires, right?
Correct.
The electrical box can be faulty. And sometimes in Florida, especially, lightning is prevalent,
yeah,
right? And sometimes lightning power surges happen, right? Yep. And so your electrical box is supposed to be the cutoff. So if a huge burst of energy comes in, your house doesn't burn down. Yep. That's what that electrical box is supposed to do. It's supposed to flip the breakers and turn it off so that your house doesn't, you know, all the
bulbs don't explode and a fire starts,
right? So if that's faulty, then there's possibilities of fire, right?
Yeah.
And the plumbing inside the house, it degrades over time. As water runs through it, it slowly degrades itself, yeah, which means you can have water leaks because what happens is over time, the pipe fittings slowly,
the brackets that hold them in place, everything. I mean, it's not a definite science. I mean,
yes, over, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's some people that have those, you know, that plumbing, and they're like, I haven't had an issue in 30 years. It's like, that's great, you know,
count your blessings.
But it's like, at the same time, I'm not going to chance it because my insurance is going to go up if I do. Right.
Or they're not, they're not going to cover any inside water damage.
Yeah. Some will have a stipulation, he was saying, about how if you don't change the plumbing out, you know, maybe you can still get insured, but the thing is they're going to have, an exclusion so that you can't, if interior water damage isn't covered.
Yeah.
Because they know the pipes are in there.
So if a bathroom or a kitchen or if anything running between the house is to have an issue and you have to completely gut drywall, mold remediation, and then put back together, that's going to be on your own dime.
Yeah. You know, or they give you a, on his point is there could be a large deductible instead, specifically when it comes to water damage, up to $10,000, which increases your premium, right? So a lot of things play into it, and it was really interesting in the class today. It was a lot of information. And on that, they were like, drawing parallels from where we came from and where we are now. It's so funny because the things we worried about, you know, you look back and it's like, oh, what do you worry about in Vegas when you're looking at a home? Mold wasn't really a thing you had to worry about much. No. Lead paint, not really, because nothing's been that old. Nothing's really that old, right? Termites, they don't survive. It's like the things we worried about were like, okay, scorpion infestation, pigeons. Crack in the foundation, weathered rooftops.
Shoddy workmanship.
Concrete that wasn't laid correctly and is cracking. Beat up garage doors. The piping sometime was like, as you were saying, like cobalt piping or something in
penthouses.
Yeah, it was
something specific.
It was like this, very specific piping they used in a lot of new homes between like 2004 and like 2009 or something.
Yeah.
And a bunch of properties had to get fully redone because the piping was bad.
They didn't realize that the water was so hard in Vegas, so they basically put this pipe that easily was eroded away. So like properties that were 5 years old started getting major water damage, and they're like, what happened? It's like, oh, well, we didn't realize that, you know, the pipes that we use are just going to fall apart.
Yeah, it's basically like, you know, silt running through your pipes every day, so it just destroys it. It's just really funny because here we look at it and it's like, oh, you have storms that you have to worry about. And there's rates that change
based on
sinkhole insurance. And there's changes in your rate because of how your house is built. That's not something that ever really happened in Vegas.
No.
You know, I was never like, oh, okay, so it's a slab building with,
an A-frame.
With an A-frame roof. And so that's going to change this much, and that's going to be this much. And it's like I'd walk around to a house, you know, they were really tract homes. I mean, honestly, most everything was communities, HOA communities. So it's like you walk up and you're like, well, this one's the same as that one. You know, this one's the same as that one over there too. And there's no difference. If the person down the street's paying, you know, this premium for their insurance, you're probably paying the same amount because you have this exact same house, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. There's really no difference.
Another interesting point that I thought was pretty, you don't run into this at all was, for example, there is a tropical storm, Fred, which is approaching the Bahamas currently, and it's supposed to be in Florida anywhere between Saturday and Sunday is what they're saying. Of course, a tropical storm, it's not that big of a deal. Florida gets those all the time. But interestingly enough is if insurance agencies, okay, there used to be a box, he was saying, that if a storm approached and came into the box around Florida, insurance agencies would halt all new
policies.
All new policies, they would wait out the storm, and then they would go back to the policy after the storm was over because they didn't want to give out a policy if there was going to be a large catastrophic hurricane. Well, now he said any hinkling of
inclement
weather.
Yeah, so
idea of a hurricane or a tropical storm or anything, he was saying even just seasonal weather, the insurance agencies can now pause all new policies.
Yeah. So what he was saying is that when you normally, back in the day, quote unquote, back in the day, what would happen is it had to be a named storm.
Correct.
Right. It had to be an actual named storm, whether it was a tropical depression or a tropical storm or a category hurricane, right? It had to be a named storm in order for them to close, right? But as time has gone on, and what he was telling us about how, you know, the insurance losses for roofs has
billions,
tripled in the past year, is that they now, at any sign, pretty much at a drop of a hat, if there is inclement weather going on, they can close and they can stop, you know, policies from
all new
being
policies
enacted, right?
And so you could be a brand new, like me and Zach were thinking and joking about it, but you could be a brand new buyer. You're so excited. You're literally, you know, closing tomorrow. And because hurricane or tropical storm Fred is approaching the next week, the insurance company could say, oh yeah, we stopped taking all new policies on Tuesday. And now you're sitting here, you're closing tomorrow, and now there's a hurricane that's supposed to be, or a tropical storm that's supposed to be approaching on Saturday or Sunday. And you could be in a brand new place with no insurance.
Yeah, because they're closed.
Because they're closed and they won't take the policy until after.
Yeah, and if you're, and also, here's the funny thing, if you're getting a loan on the property, it won't close.
No.
If it hasn't closed, so insurance is something you have to have in order to get a loan with most companies.
Yeah.
Because they have to make sure that their asset is covered.
Correct.
And so in that case, you know, worst came to absolute worst, and the, you know, a symphony of destruction happened. You're sitting there, you're a new buyer, and you're waiting for your policy to be enacted, and you're like, okay, you know, closing's on its way, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That can stop closing.
Yeah.
And could. That's funny. It's, that's not, you know, like I said, drawing parallels, this is nothing like anything we've ever had to deal with.
No.
Right.
No, but I mean, like most closings that were derailed in Vegas were just because of, you know, the buyer or the seller deciding that
they wanted to defer for some reason or something
a
with
loan
the property.
Issue. Yeah.
Or, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like anything like, well, can't get your insurance premium through because there's a tropical storm coming and you're closing on Friday and the loan won't go through if you don't have insurance. So it looks like you have to wait till next week. Like, what?
Yeah. And you're like, wait, how does the storm coming in have any,
yeah,
you know, relation to me buying a home?
I mean, it makes sense now.
I understand, but it's so funny because I would never have viewed it that way,
yeah,
ever.
Which is funny because, like we said, it was a lot of pertinent information that we're hoping that, you know, we could pass off to the new home buyers or the new agents or existing agents who, you know, a lot of them had personal experiences. There were a lot of fresh agents in the meeting, which was pretty interesting because they asked a simple question, which was who's had their license for more than 5 years. And Zach and me were pretty much the only ones who raised our hand. So, I mean, there was a lot of new agents that were, you know,
yeah,
in
that
this
fall
meeting,
into that
fall into this place.
If you haven't seen the,
but then there were a lot of agents too, who have already had some of, you know, their own experiences using these aluminum wires or using the, you know.
Yeah, the faulty panels or having a problem with the roofs or, you know, it's these are common issues that they're having and they're new, which means if they're common enough to be having and you're having them, you know, on your first few dealings, it's probably a common issue.
If we're
sitting there and people are like, yeah, I've had to deal with, you know, in this past year in June, I've been having to deal with these things.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's pretty pertinent. That's something that you have to look out for because, yeah, if they're sitting there and they're having to deal with it on a constant basis, it's probably something that's pretty normal.
Yeah. But, you know, on a different note, we definitely did appreciate getting a lot of, you know, firsthand knowledge on a lot of these insurance subjects that we weren't, you know, it was news to us. So, hey, yeah, you know, we appreciate the invitation to go sit and learn and listen to, you know, a lot of these stories. And we hope that even though, you know, Zach Stein over there, we hope that even though today we learn something, we can then, of course, pass it off to you guys.
Yeah, we can digest it
and hopefully, you know, change it to where you know, a new buyer knows that if they buy anything closer to the coast, they might have to have specific insurance for wind and specific insurance for flooding. And if a new buyer wants to buy something that's more center, they might have to have specific insurance, or their premium might go up if it's a wood-based paneling house or if it's brick. It just, there's a lot of cool little, you know, things that you can pass off to others that make yourself look like an expert.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? Is that it makes you look better. Yep. If you're more, and that's what we always try and harp on, is the more informed you are, the better you look.
Yeah. I mean, walking into any situation, if you can easily say, oh, guys, this is an A-frame roof, and the roof last time, you know, was 1997, that's going to be over the 15-year threshold. They're going to need a brand new roof to get insured.
Yeah,
you just gonna, knowing that, you're going to immediately stop anybody in their tracks, and knowing the amount too. Roofs go from anywhere between $12,000 and
$22,000. Yeah. It's a large investment you're going to have to make if you want to buy the property.
So,
right?
Hey, you know what? You're going to have to take, or the seller is going to have to redo the roof before the end of the sale, or there's going to be an
escrow. You're going to have to say, okay, well, you know what? I'll take the annoyance of having to get a new roof put on, but there's going to be an escrow deposit of, you know, this much,
and it's
going to be from you guys from the purchase, you know, because we want this to not come out of our own pocket.
Yeah. I went and got three separate quotes, and they all gave me quotes for 16, 14 and 19,000. Okay. So average that. Okay. 16 and a half. I need an escrow account at closing of 16 and a half so that I can get insurance on this property.
Yeah. And everyone can be happy, right?
Yep. So again, we want to stop. We want to thank you for stopping by. We want to wish you a bountiful Thursday. Bountiful Thursday.
Interesting.
We will be in the office again tomorrow, going over some more stuff. And then next week we're going to be here again, but start planning some more meetings and everything. So if you have any questions or concerns, of course, you can hit us up at admin@admin.com. Or excuse me, admin@homeuplink.com.
There you go.
Yeah. You can obviously go to our website, homeuplink.com. We have up-to-date new open houses daily that start in the morning and purge at night, and then start in the morning and purge at night. So everything on that site, our site, will be for that day. It'll tell you times, directions, the people hosting it, synopsis of the property, and give you pictures.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, I you know, we had 1,800 open houses in the greater Orlando area. Between the middle of Orlando to the middle of Tampa, so basically about a 200-mile stretch through Central Florida, we had 1,800 open houses this last weekend. So, I mean, there is a lot going on. There's still a lot of open houses being held. So, I mean, just because what's going on pandemic-wise doesn't mean people aren't doing their job. So people are out there and they're promoting and they're trying to get these places sold. So if you do, you know, want to do some research and find some new properties, please, please, you know, take some time and look us up over the weekend and go around and see them.
Yeah, we would you know, appreciate it.
So again, want to thank you, and we hope you have a great day.
Yeah, hope you have a great Thursday.